doing the whole 6010.
Hello and welcome into Fantasy Focus. What is good, my friends? My name is Daniel Dopp, and we have a huge quarterback show lined up for you today. We're talking about our favorite QBs to draft in the mock draft trials we're doing right now at ESPN Fantasy. We're also getting into some of the value picks if you don't want to pay up at the quarterback position. And we're taking a look at the rookies and sophomores that you can trust in 2024. Huge QB show lined up. But I've not been here for 3 weeks, guys, and I am joined by my best friends, Mike Clay and Field Yates. Field, how the heck are you, brother? It's my first time seeing you in forever.
Daniel, what a benefit that's been for you over the past 3 weeks to be away from me. I know it's the fortune of all fortunes there. It's great to be on with you and Mike. And you said that we're doing the quarterback show today, Daniel. I'm not going to lie. We're on the tail end, or I guess the beginning of a new week after the 4th of July week. I didn't know we were talking about quarterbacks until right now, which means that my prep for this show is the same as every other show in the history of Fantasy Focus.
That's right.
So we're talking quarterbacks today. Mike, I'm sure you've done enough prep to carry both Daniel and I through yet another episode of Fantasy Focus.
Yeah, what's a vacation? It must be nice for you two to just take a month off. I mean, I think I filed four articles in the last 2 weeks or something like that. So, you know, don't worry about it, guys. You know, Mag's on the newsstand. We got that finished up and filed too. But I'll carry the whole company on my back. Don't worry about it. You guys just why don't you just take a break till September? What is it? September 8th, something like that.
Okay,
that sounds good.
All right, you guys take a break.
Awesome.
I got it.
All right.
Don't worry about it.
All right, later.
Love it. See you guys. All right. Well, that was a good show, guys. This was so much fun. No, seriously.
Get him back. We need eye candy. Get back here.
Just chill out there. Is this or is this not? I want to know from you guys. Is this the official start of the fantasy football season with Scott Fishbowl kicking off today?
Ooh, that's a great question, Daniel. So shout out to Scott Fish. Just an unbelievably legendary event, which as we are recording this show, we are beginning the first round. Like, I am two picks away from being on the clock for my first overall pick. Mike, who obviously knows projections better than I will ever know them, told me that I need to be taking that kicker. What's his name? Jake something that the Lions just
Jake
signed.
Bates. Thank you
yeah,
very
Jake
much.
Jake Bates. Yep. Mike told me I need to take him with my first round pick. I don't know if that's Mike trying to be deceiving or not. But yeah, it does sort of feel like the kickoff, Daniel, right? Because the fantasy juices are going a little bit. Lots of online engagement on Twitter. It definitely gets me more excited than I already was for fantasy football. So big thanks to Scott and big thanks to Mike again for your big board. Jake Bates is just two picks away from being mine.
Yeah, you have it wrong. Round. It's punters. Punters. You got to get right out of the gate. Punter after. There's a lot of flexes. Get all
Aaron Sippis.
And and look, I won the first ever Scott Fishbowl. So if there's anyone you should listen to, it's me. So take them punters. Just all right.
How many people were in Fishbowl when you won?
Like seven.
1 million.
Million.
there was like 100 people in it the first year. So it was way had a different name back then. But you know, you talk to Scott Fish, that guy just groans whenever you mention my name. He does not like me because I beat him in the championship to win that first fishbowl. So I'm a sworn enemy for life.
I just got it. It makes sense to me. Mike, you are the Detroit Lions. You won Fishbowl before it was called Fishbowl, just like the Lions won the NFL championship before it was called the Super Bowl. You are basically what my team is. And shout out to you for being so good at this for a long time.
Wait, last thing. Can I just say this before we start talking about fantasy? Mike nails first. For those that don't know, Mike Clay has made exactly one TikTok, one in his entire life. And not that I am a prolific TikTok user, far from it, but an occasional TikTok consumer. And Mike has made one TikTok, and it got how many millions of views and likes, Mike? I think a million likes, right?
Over a million. Yeah, it's like 7 million views. So, but I can't take the credit. This is my daughter just having a viral moment, and you probably all saw it. It's her running, doing a race at her school, and she says, "I hate this," as she's running by. And of course, with the,
you're like,
the running
way to
community.
Go.
Yeah. I was cheering for her. And she's like, "I hate this," as she's running by doing the 1 miler. So, that went viral. It still pops up all the time. So, no credit for me. But yeah, I don't think I could ever post on TikTok again. I could keep that ratio up.
That's right. So, you should officially retire from Fishbowl because you won the first one. You should have not played in the 12 that have since followed in the 13. Now, this is Scott Fishbowl 14 this year. I am declaring
Mike Clay is
out of the Fishbowl.
We're in enough leagues, so don't tempt me. But no, look, I love Scott, love the charity element. So of course we're gonna keep fighting through. But Yeah, I'm with you. I'll let you guys compete, though. I'll just take a sit in the back burner while you guys go win the title. So that's fine.
Don't worry. I'm sure by week 18, Stefania's going to be in the top 50 of Fishbowl, like it feels like she always is every single year.
Of course.
So.
Yep.
All right, we're talking quarterbacks, guys. We mentioned it at the top of this show, quarterback targets and field. I kind of want to start with you. We've mentioned this a few times. We're going through this big mock draft exercise, right, at ESPN. And as we're doing that, one of the positions, obviously, that has a different kind of strategy because you only draft one of these guys to start is the quarterback spot. So I want to ask you, it's kind of three questions. Is there anybody that you find yourself targeting the most within these drafts? Where are they coming off the board, and why specifically are you targeting that quarterback?
Well, mostly I want to spite you, Daniel, because I've been taking Josh Allen the most. Josh, who I've taken four times. And what's interesting about this is that I've taken him in the fourth round each time as well.
Okay.
So it's a 12-team mock draft. We've done, 16 of them, I believe, with, I think, another 14 ahead, including 8 this week. But, yeah, Josh, 4 out of 16 times. So 25% of the time I've taken Josh Allen, and it's always occurred in the fourth round. Now, obviously, different spots of the fourth round, but I think Josh will end up going about a round sooner than that in – I would say drafts that are, I was going to say real drafts, but these are, real drafts. When real drafts begin, when people who aren't in the industry and don't know each other's like nuances and draft ticks, like the 12 of us seem to know each other. But I have found, the latest I've taken a quarterback is round 11, which I've done on 3 occasions. So I think the strategy here with these mock drafts, and we talked about this a bit on prior shows, is it's actually kind of like educating yourself for the season. Like it's simulating how drafts will go now so that when you're actually, when the money is on the line and you're doing your real drafts, is it worth taking that quarterback early? And while I actually like some of the outcomes when I waited Joe Burrow in the 8th, Jaden Daniels and Brock Purdy in the 11th, I got to be honest with you, Josh Allen has been such a certainty over the past 3, 4, 5 years in fantasy, including back-to-back years as the highest overall scorer, that while in almost every case he is the first quarterback taken off the board, and beginning the train is not always the best practice at quarterback and tight end, especially this year, I've been happy with my Josh Allen outcomes because of the fact that it's taking place in round 3. If it's the end of round 2, which I think it will be in a lot of real-life drafts, I feel a little bit less comfortable with it. But given the value in round 4, I'm okay with the guy that's my quarterback 1. It wouldn't surprise me if, even despite the departures of Stephon Diggs and also Gabe Davis, will be just fine this year.
I think that's interesting. And Mike, I kind of want to get to know your thoughts, because one of the things that we talk about, and I kind of agree with Fields here, one of the things that I'm looking for at the quarterback is those boom weeks, right? Such a high floor, has the ability to literally win you a week, some of those top quarterbacks can do. But I know that there's value available as well. You don't just need to go out and grab a quarterback early. I'm going to save my thoughts. I'll share them in a minute. But Mike, I want to ask you the same question. How are you approaching these quarterback drafts?
Yeah, so I'm with Field with Josh Allen. I've drafted him twice as well, which is honestly a big number when we've only done, 13 to 15 drafts, something like that. But I have taken two quarterbacks 4 times, Jalen Hurts and Joe Burrow. So both of those are kind of at different levels. The thing is, and Field, you pointed to there's value in waiting at quarterback, especially in 10-team leagues. I also think that, with last year was Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, Patrick Mahomes, right? We had our big 3 at quarterback, and then it was kind of like another tier after that. You kind of had to pick your spot. I feel like, Mahomes is down a little bit. Jalen Hurts potentially his rushing is down a little bit. Obviously, the perception of him is a little bit lower. No Jason Kelce, the things that have changed. And Josh Allen, as you mentioned, lost quite a few of his targets. That big 3 has kind of dropped and kind of brought the field closer together, which to me, with everyone kind of being closer together, allows me to wait a little bit longer. In our drafts, I have found some value. Again, I've taken Hurts 4 times. I think he's kind of the forgotten man at the top. Still has been terrific the last 3 seasons, top 4 in fantasy points per snap, top 3 scorer each of the last 2 years. He's been awesome. He's still going to run a ton. We know that. So I'm fine with him. But you mentioned Joe Burrow. I mean, he has been my favorite value target. I mean, last year after that slow start was 4th in fantasy points per game. The year before that, he was the number 4 scoring fantasy quarterback. He's just coming so cheap in drafts after all these other guys go. If I can get him in the 7th, 8th round, I'm going to do that all day long. There's such a pass-heavy offense. He's so good. And when he's healthy, he could run as well. So you have a lot of ways to attack quarterback. You do.
You go first.
I have a question for you, Daniel.
Yeah.
Are you allowed to make a board bet for somebody else?
Ooh, I don't know, but I want to hear what this is about. I'll decide in a minute.
Yeah, Mike and Stefania need to make some sort of Joe Burrow board bet because I feel like they're on opposite ends of the spectrum on this one, right? It seems like, you know, Stefania's, I feel like her thoughts on Joe different from Mike's thoughts on Joe because of the, you know, the situation he's coming back from with the wrist thumb deal. So let's table that one. But in August, I'll let them actually make their own board bet because it'd be a fascinating conversation. But Mike, I lean towards the Mike side on that one, just for the record, because I think this is a revenge tour season from Cincinnati. I feel great about Joe and Ja'Marr Chase, maybe even greater about Ja'Marr Chase than ever, because I am just a touch skeptical about T. Higgins, as we talked about.
Right.
Like, he's just one tight hamstring away from being out for a while because he has to protect himself. But I sort of made a board bet there for Mike and Stefania. We will finish that thought once the two of them are in the same room.
Well, yeah, I might have been a little on the fence about that, but I just saw the report that Joe Burrow, to fix his wrist, is playing piano. Like, that's his trick now to get his kind of wrist in shape. So that changes everything. So I'm with you. I'll take any and all board bets on Joe Burrow. I'm in.
All right, sweet. I'm tone deaf, so I can't even play the recorder. So congratulations to you, Joe.
Well, let me ask you this. Given everything, because Phil, that was the question I was going to basically ask Mike, knowing how Stefania feels when you grab Joe Burrow in the, where are you getting him? The eighth round, give or take, when he falls to you? Are you definitively, are those the leagues that you're drafting that second quarterback just in case there was an injury risk there? Mike Clay? That's a Mike Clay question.
Oh, me. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
sorry.
Mike, when he says your name.
I was thinking about where I could order a piano, what songs I could learn on the piano. So that's where my head was.
I have a two-year-old piano, if you want that.
I will take it. I'll take it. I used to have one of the little electric ones as a kid. I would write my own songs and all that kind of stuff. So they're all great, of course.
8 + 7 = 15. That's how many fantasy points I will project one day when I'm a professional at ESPN. That was my impersonation of what Mike was probably singing about back then.
I like that.
Thank you. Thank you.
I would do the stats first and then I would write the music for the commercials and stuff like that. Yeah, so
the album anyway, name was A Dot Over Air Yards.
Yeah. I have a folder here with some of all my nerdy stats from when I was a kid. I should pull that out and show you all. You'll lose so much respect for me or gain it. Who knows?
Or gain. No, yeah. One of the two.
Yeah. So anyway, there's a question in there somewhere. I don't, especially in 10 team leagues, I'm not that adamant about getting a second quarterback. It's just, you know, there's just so many options that are going to be on waivers when the draft is over. So I'm not super worried about that, but we'll keep an eye on it closer to the season. If there really are standing issues with Burrow, maybe I'm more likely to throw a flyer to rookie or Will Levis or, you know, someone like that. We'll talk about values at some point in the show, but Jayden Daniels is another guy you can take a shot at, but nothing. I'm rarely super aggressive about getting a second quarterback when I have someone like Joe Burrow.
Okay.
In the world of football, one name stands above the rest. Nick Saban, a legend known for building dynasties on the gridiron. In the world of interior paint, Bear Dynasty is a legend in its own right. It's the best of Bear with everything you want in a paint all in one can. And it's available exclusively at the Home Depot. Just like Nick Saban's powerhouse defense, Bear Dynasty defends your walls with unmatched stain repellency and scuff resistance. And with one coat coverage, you'll be able to complete your painting project and bask in your team's colors before kickoff. Defend your walls and your game time with Bear Dynasty interior paint at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Valid only when tinted to colors from the Bear Dynasty and Marquee Interior One Coat Hide Color Collection.
Life is a journey, and sometimes you need a pit stop that feels like a destination. Enter Baymont by Wyndham, your oasis on the road. After a long day of travel, you deserve a clean, cozy room with a comfy bed to lay down on for a quick nap before tackling the rest of the day. Or if you need to stretch those legs or dive into their sparkling pool or break a sweat in their fitness center, rejuvenate your body and soul with Baymont by Wyndham. Come on in. We're so glad you're here. Book now at WyndhamHotels.com/Baymont.
So then let's run through these. I got a handful of things. Let's play a little game. We're going to target a guy. We're going to table him maybe for later in the draft, save him in case he's good value and he falls to us. Or are you going to toss him from your draft list altogether? All right.
Okay.
Target, table, or toss. All three of us, we're kind of going to go rapid fire field. I'm going to ask you first. Anthony Richardson seems easy because I've heard you talk about him earlier.
Yeah, target. And just a heads up, if my Scott Fishbowl pick takes place during the recording of this show, it will be Anthony Richardson who makes it there to me.
All right. Mike, you targeting him as well?
Yeah, look, it's all based on ADP value. I'm looking at this from a value angle. So I have to toss this one. I haven't drafted him at all. He's just going too early. Let me give you one quick nugget. Earliest, yeah,
please do.
The earliest Joe Burrow has gone is 60th in our drafts. The latest Richardson has gone is 54th. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm just not going to take Richardson. As good as I think his ceiling is, it's just not worth it. There's just too many other values at quarterback.
Listen, pragmatic Mike going on right now. I want Jackson, our fearless producer, along with Tyler, if we can clip this off. And we got to get somebody who's TikTok famous to post this. Because Mike Clay hates Anthony Richardson. He just does.
I'm in on this.
And if we can find a way for that to go viral, like Mike's first TikTok, I think it's a worthwhile investment for us to make.
Yeah, I'm targeting Anthony Richardson in this one.
Let's go. I had Rashad White in my mentions last year. Maybe it'll be Richardson this year. Who knows?
Yeah. We'll see. All right. How about, Mike, I'm going to start with you in this one. Kyler Murray. I mean, talk about a guy that I feel like has not gotten as much love as he could have. We've seen him utilize his legs. Are you targeting him, tabling him, or tossing him?
Yeah, I think it's kind of in the middle of target slash table. I'll lean toward target. Just he's going after like the top eight. So if I drafted him once in our leagues, if he falls a little bit, I'm happy to take Kyler. I think he's a fine mid to back end QB1.
I'm targeting him as well. Field, what about you?
Yeah, I'm targeting him. Hey, Mike, have some conviction, will ya? We're not debating what we're like when you go to the restaurant and someone says, you know, do you want the enchiladas or do you want the burritos? You don't say, well, you know, I want a bite of the enchiladas and then like a part of the burrito. This is your chance. Be fearless, Mike.
No way. My favorite dining experience is tasting menus. So I'm fine. I'm fine getting them all. I want a piece of everything.
we should go to what's that place? We should go to Zohara sometime in West Hartford.
I've
been there. I've had it. Yeah.
Thanks for the invite. We'll do it again sometime soon. Great food. I'm targeting Kyler too. And I think people need to hear this. And I know we talk about this frequently on this show. But again, when you're doing so many leagues like we are, right, it's easier to have multiple targets at quarterback. If I were playing in just one league, maybe even two leagues, and Anthony Richardson is going in an incredibly early spot in those two leagues, it's probably not going to be me. Like I am going to be, let's say, conservative. I would say more pragmatic when I play in just a couple of leagues. But when you play in a bunch, yes, I'm going to be targeting Anthony Richardson some, but the counter to that is that there's going to be a league where Tyler Foljam or somebody else jumps ahead of me on the Anthony Richardson train. And then I say to myself, screw it. I'll just wait for Kyler and get him in round 10 because there's a pretty darn good value to be had there. So it is much more of an art than a science. I'm targeting Kyler as I am also targeting Anthony Richardson.
And I will say really quickly before we move on, Field, that's the way that I'm also approaching it. I go into the draft saying, hey, I want to target one of these quarterbacks. And if they come off before I can get to them, then you pivot and you move to somebody else. But that doesn't mean that I'm not trying to go in and see if I could get Anthony Richardson as my QB1. I'm just not willing to overpay for him.
Yep, sounds good.
All right, CJ Stroud, Field, you targeting him? Does he use his legs enough for you to target him or is he a table for later in the draft?
Yeah, I think he's a table for later in the draft because I expect a growth from CJ Stroud. He is unbelievable and he has a freaking loaded wide receiver room, even more so than it was last year when he lost Tank Dell midway through the season and Tank Dell was still a rookie. Adding Stephon Diggs is nothing to shake a stick at. So I'm tabling him though just because, and this will become a theme as we talk about some of these quarterbacks, these non-running quarterbacks just have to be so elite. And guys can have excellent real-life seasons that don't produce unbelievable fantasy football seasons. And so I think CJ Stroud will absolutely be a top 10 quarterback. I just don't know. I feel like if you were to run the simulations, like the likelihood of him being a top three quarterback might be lower than some of these running quarterbacks that are also in that same tier.
Yep, I'm with you on that one. All right, Mike, how about this guy? Dak Prescott finishes QB3 last year. Are you targeting him or tabling him as a value?
Yeah, so first of all, I'm a target on Stroud as well. Just such a super high ceiling. And the same thing for Dak Prescott, where he's going in drafts. He's going right around guys like Burrow, well after Stroud and Richardson. So for me, in that offense, pass heavy, they're going to score a lot. He had big numbers last year. I think, again, he's another kind of one of them forgotten men. I think Prescott definitely is a buy at his value or at his ADP.
at his ADP for where he's at. I agree with you. Again, QB3 last season, he's being drafted as the quarterback 7 or 8 right now in our mock draft.
You guys just broke a rule. You're not allowed to speak logically about Dak Prescott. That's just not allowed.
That's not how you're allowed to do it.
No, you're not allowed to do that. Like, you have to actually, like, have a stance. Like, Dak Prescott either has to be the next president of the United States or he has to be the worst quarterback in NFL history. There's no middle ground there.
Okay. Is it just Dak or is it all quarterbacks? Do I need to do that with Jalen Hurts too?
No. You can be logical about Jalen Hurts. You're not allowed. You just can't do it.
Just can't be logical with Dak.
Yeah.
All right.
That's correct.
What about Hurts then, Field? Again, it's like the guy right behind Josh Allen. Is he a target or you want to save and see if he falls to you?
No, he's a target. The problem is I haven't been landing on him as much because I've been so frequently targeting Josh Allen as well, right? But he would be not a consolation prize, but he would be my 1B to Josh Allen's 1A.
Okay.
Mike talked about it, though. Like, you know, Jalen Hurts, as we know, the addition of Saquon Barkley and the departure of Jason Kelce could lead to Jalen Hurts being a slightly less impactful runner at the goal line specifically, right? More opportunities for Saquon and just the tush push being a little bit less effective without Jason Kelce, who certainly was a big part of that play's success. But he's still on the short list for greatest running quarterbacks we've seen like the past 25 years. So Jalen Hurts could see his running role shrink and he could still have 8 rushing touchdowns this season, which should be plenty good for a guy who has awesome weapons all the way around him. Very, very high ceiling and a high floor as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Mike, you just mentioned Joe Burrow. I'm assuming that you're targeting him based on everything you said previously.
That's a good guess.
Yeah.
Target. All right. For all the reasons I already said.
Everything you already said, which makes sense.
Nailed it.
I'm going to look at Lamar Jackson and say he's a guy that I am also targeting in drafts. He's my most drafted quarterback in the ESPN mock draft trials, a guy that I feel like, again, coming into this Baltimore offense, adds Derrick Henry. You can tell me that maybe that's going to take some rushing value away from Lamar Jackson, but I think it's just going to open up even more value for him to be able to utilize his legs with the way they have to account for Derrick Henry and fight his guys down the field as he progresses again as a passer. So I'm targeting Lamar Jackson in this year's drafts. And last one, Field Yates, Patrick Mahomes. I mean, he had a down year last year. Is there any reason why you wouldn't target Patrick Mahomes because you think that's going to continue?
Well, per the data, and the data is the only thing that matters, Daniel, I think Patrick Mahomes is trash because I haven't drafted him once in 16 mocks so far. Yeah, clip that one. Throw that one.
I was just going to say, Jackson, clip that one too. Let's do that.
I remember when, obviously, it was a fantasy list, which you guys are all very aware of. But ESPN Fantasy posted my top 10 quarterbacks with Josh leading the way, Josh Allen, and Patrick Mahomes was like, fourth, right? And then the comment section was blown up. I'm like,
every time.
I'm a Chiefs guy. I freaking work there. Like, I love the Chiefs. Like, I'm always saying, you know who says nice things about Patrick Mahomes all the time? Literally everybody, because he's the best player on the planet, right? It just hasn't worked out that way. I would say this, though, with Mahomes, is that for as ugly as it was last year throughout the season, like, I don't think we have, like, shifted to, like, a new gear of Patrick Mahomes' career. But I also think that there's a chance that, like, the days of defenses having zero answers for the Chiefs, like they did for like that 3 or 4 year stretch, are over for two reasons. Tyreek Hill is no longer there, and Travis Kelce is no longer on a different planet as every other tight end, which I thought was a significant contributing factor to Patrick Mahomes' season without Tyreek Hill being as great as it was.
All right. I think he's going to rebound a little bit. He was so conservative last year, too. They're going to push it down the field more this season, more big plays. I think he bounces back a little bit.
Yeah. I can't believe in this game that we've got one toss, and it's Anthony Richardson from Mike Clay. I love it.
Again,
this is part of what happens, though, in all honesty, as much as we're going to make fun of you, Mike, for this. Like, this is part of draft season, right? Sometimes a guy's price point just gets too high, and you've got to say, I can't. I got to be out until the market gets back to where he's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. So
Correct. And yeah, that kind of stuff could change throughout the offseason. We do our like sleeper bust and breakouts article. And sometimes we have to change our answers later in the summer because the value starts to change on players. Yep. So no doubt about it. We'll see where Richardson's ADP eventually lands. But in our mocks, at least, it's out of control. It's too much, guys.
All right. Well, speaking of value, then I'm going to start with Field Yates because I already know how Mike feels about this. But let's say you want to look at some quarterback values. Okay. Yeah. Field, if you're looking at guys that you don't want to draft in the first 5, 4, 5, 6 rounds, You can wait and get guys like Joe Burrow or Dak Prescott in the 7th or 8th round of your drafts. If you're waiting on value and you're waiting to grab one of those two quarterbacks, is there one that you like more than the others? We know where Mike leans. So where do you go?
Yep. So this is specifically Joe Burrow and Dak Prescott.
Joe Burrow and Dak Prescott. Yeah.
Yeah. I would lean towards both. Because I told Mike earlier that he has to have some stances.
Conviction?
No, I mean, here's what I would say is right now. So as you said, like they're both being drafted at the exact same spot right now. It's the ADP for Dak in just our mock, right? This is amongst the people in this 12 team league that we've been doing 16 times so far. Dak is at 72.9. That's his ADP. Burrows is at 74.1. I would probably lean a little bit towards Dak Prescott, but we're talking about like a 51-49 edge. And there's not a super compelling case other than while Joe Burrow has been, he does definitely has good athletic ability. I think there is a touch more rushing upside near the goal line for Dak Prescott. Just a touch. And you're splitting hairs here. They both obviously have like a type. I mean, we're talking like, you know, alpha, super, mega, duperstar wide receiver one. When healthy, I think Cincinnati's second wide receiver is obviously better than Dallas's. But I think that Dallas's complementary pieces are more than good enough for Dak to throw for a serious amount of numbers.
Yeah. I mean, when I look at this, I kind of fall in that same range. And a lot of it is because of the fact of the things that Stefania has said. Right now, it's July 8th. Okay. If we were talking September 4th in this instance, I might be closer to Joe Burrow as the offseason has progressed. And I've heard more about how his wrist plays out and how everything looks from a medical perspective. But right now on July 8th, I think I would lean Dak Prescott just a smidge because of what you're saying, Field, and because of
that
injury.
Brilliant, man.
It's not a lot. It's not a big amount. I do want to say that, Mike. This is not an anti-Mike Clay stance, but it's only because of that.
Well, plenty of those, to be clear.
Yeah, I got plenty of other anti-Mike Clay things. This is not one of them. But I think that's why, you know, if we were closer to the season, I might think or lean Joe Burrow if I had more news about his injury. But right now I'm kind of being, I guess, risk averse and defaulting more towards Dak Prescott. Mike, I'll give you one last chance to talk about value prospects at the quarterback position. We got Joe and Dak. Is there anyone else that you kind of want to mention in there with those guys?
I would say, I mean, I don't know if there's anyone else that really pops out that we're not going to talk about here in a minute. You know,
okay.
If we're talking about someone like Kyler Murray or Jordan Love, I mean, if we want to go deep here and look at like deep league flyers or super flex, I mean, there could be a guy like a Will Levis, you know, if we want to go that deep, but I think Burrow and Dak really stand out, but it's all based on tiers. We've talked about how Jalen Hurts and Josh Allen could be a value in some formats, and Lamar sometimes if he'll fall. So I think it just kind of depends on how your draft's going. You have to have values identified in each tier and just take the plunge on your quarterback if they fall a little bit.
So okay. Can I just one last? Oh, sorry, Daniel, you go.
No, you're good. Go ahead, buddy.
I was going to say my only last thought on these guys is like. If you're listening or watching right now, you saw how little conviction I think all three of us kind of have. I don't know, Mike, are you like definitively Joe Burrow is way ahead of Dak Prescott, or is it a relatively nip-tuck dynamic for you two?
No, I mean, I actually have Richardson, Stroud, Burrow, and Dak in the same tier, honestly.
Okay.
So, I mean, whoever's fallen from that group, I mean, that's why I'm out on Richardson and I'm kind of on the fence with Stroud because you can get similar – guys, I expect similar output from three rounds later. So of course, I'm going to go that direction.
Okay. So Mike has brought up this tiers point, and this is where I think it matters. If you're in the draft room and like you've got seven spots between your current pick and your next pick, and you like both Dak and Joe Burrow, and you factor in that probably half the league has already taken a quarterback, this is your way to roll the dice a bit and say, rather than taking one or the other when I have another pick seven selections behind me or whatever it might be, right? 4 or 7. If you're not at the, like, if you're not like 18 slots away, you just say like, I'm fine with taking my fourth wide receiver right now or taking my first tight end right now and letting the quarterback situation resolve itself by bypassing, you know, either or both of those quarterbacks and just waiting for whichever of the two falls to you in that next slot.
I like that. I like that a lot. Feel part of that with what you're saying, though, we're still talking about value quarterbacks, right? Guys that we have. Mike, you had like four guys in that tier, right? Of like quarterbacks 6 through 9, give or take.
Right.
Looking at last season, you had a tier of Jordan Love, who finished as QB5, Brock Purdy, who finished as QB6, and Jared Goff, who finished as QB7. Only one of those guys right now is really even being considered as a potential top 10 quarterback. Just talk to me about why we might or might not be able to look at all three of those guys as potential values in fantasy football this year.
Yeah, so I was looking into that. I kind of instinctually knew the answer, but I wanted to give you guys some numbers on this. And first of all, I'll say this about Jordan Love. We might be too low on him. I think the problem is when you rank these guys, we just listed all these guys. Think about this. Allen, Hurts, Jackson, Mahomes, Richardson, Stroud, Burrow, Prescott, Kyler. Like, they're all good too. Or great. So, I mean, do you want to put Love fifth over Richardson and Stroud? Maybe you do, but it's hard for me to go that high. But he did add some value with his legs. I think part of the issue is he doesn't really have the sample size or the rushing upside of someone like Richardson. You know, he really just had that really good second half of the season. But for the other guys that you mentioned, Goff, Purdy, even Baker Mayfield, who was a top 10 scorer last year, there's a couple of reasons. The big one is bust rate. I mean, these guys do not add value with their legs, so they're very inconsistent. I mean, think about this last year. Look at the bust rates of the top 10 finishing quarterbacks. So bust being you finish outside the top 20, right? So just terrible weeks that kind of ruin your week in fantasy. Allen, Hurts, Lamar, Love, Mahomes, Stroud were all 13% or lower. That's a good rate. You know, once in a while you're going to have a bad game, that's fine. Prescott was 18%, but he had that slow start to the season. Otherwise, he was great. Jared Goff, 35% bust rate last year. 21 quarterbacks were better. Purdy, 25%. Mayfield, 24%. Goff finished that high because he lasted 17 games. It was really that simple. He was a zero with his legs. He was 14th in points per game, and he's never finished better than 10th in points per game. So I don't want to hear anything about Jared Goff being a fantasy starter. He's never been a fantasy starter. Wow. He's still not a fantasy starter.
That's
aggressive. Think about how good that offense has been the last couple of years. He has not been a QB1 in fantasy. So I don't want to hear anything about us being too low on him. He's not a worthwhile pick in leagues where you start one quarterback. And then Purdy, I mean, he was eighth in points per game, but his rate stats were unsustainable. I mean, he was first in like every category. Can he keep that up is the question. You're really banking on that for a guy that doesn't add anything with his legs. So I think all these guys may finish as fringe quarterback ones, but the points per game value just really isn't there. Although, except Love, like I said, Love could be the exception. He's a tricky one for sure.
Daniel, the floor is yours, man. I have nothing to say, but you need to defend the honor of your Jared Goff right now.
Yeah, he just signed a massive contract, Mike Clay. I don't know if you witnessed this. The entire city of Detroit is going to be pounding on your front door saying, how dare you? Of course we knew Mike Clay hated our team. Everyone says Mike Clay hates our team. We know for a fact Mike Clay hates the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, he does.
This
he
is
does.
Tough, though. This is one of the things because I like when you don't utilize your legs, you have to be so efficient as a passer, right? The idea of both Brock Purdy and Jared Goff being guys that you want to draft as your QB1, in spite of the fact that I love both of them because of their excellent offenses that score a ton of points. They just don't do enough for our fantasy game. And this is where it's like, oh, you know what? A guy who might not be as good as them on a much worse team with worse stats, like, I don't know, Jaden Daniels, could score more fantasy points on a fairly easy basis just because of the way that he utilizes his legs. So I know we talk about this all the time. Rushing is a cheat code for quarterbacks. But guys like Brock Purdy and Jared Goff and even CJ Stroud, honestly, I know he's getting a lot of love, but like you have to be so good as a passer to be able to be a top 10 guy, basically Hall of Fame level, like Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, 4,500, 5,000 yards, Jared Goff. That's right. In order to be a top 7 quarterback without utilizing your legs. So
wait,
I think it's tough.
I think there's one player that perhaps we missed in this conversation that I think people don't realize what you two are discussing the most about. It's Tua, right? I get it. Tua has become this lightning rod player, right? I think Tua's a really good quarterback. Do I think he's a top 5 quarterback? No. Do I think he's somewhere in the first 18 or so quarterbacks of the NFL? Yeah. And by the way, if you're a top 18 quarterback, that means you're going to get paid $50+ million per year on a veteran extension, okay? I like Tua a lot. But if you look at the raw stats from last year, he led the NFL in passing yards. And he's disrespected when we don't have him ranked higher in our fantasy ranks. But Mike, I know you can expand upon this. Like in the second half of last season, Tua was not a good fantasy starter. As a matter of fact, if you won your league with Tua last year, it was in spite of him during the second half and the playoffs. So to the point that Mike and Daniel are making is that, you know, if you want the guy that has the capacity to be an A-plus 6 out of 17 weeks, there are those players available to Jared Goff, maybe at 6, maybe at 7, maybe it's 8. But if you're looking for a player who might be, you know, an A 12 out of 17 weeks with a floor of a B, there are better options than players who have such a spike nature to their game.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Like it. I like that a lot. That was a good.
I still love Tua. Field.
Yeah, of course. But there are some things like this is Tua is one of those quarterbacks where it's like he's a better NFL quarterback for what the Dolphins need than a fantasy quarterback as a QB1 for our fantasy team.
Well, and that's the same thing with Jared Goff. Exactly.
Yeah.
And hey, Dolphins fans, don't get mad at us because if the Dolphins had this like unequivocal opinion of what Tua is, his contract would already be done.
Right, I mean,
all the other quarterbacks have gotten their deals done. It should be relatively straightforward to get it done, and it's still not done.
Maybe he was showing to play in December and December and January football for the Miami offense has been terrible the last couple of years. That's something else too. So yeah, and from the fantasy perspective, that's where it worries you. Is he going to be? Is he going to show up come fantasy playoff time? He hasn't yet. And the other part of it, of course, is he's going to rush for like 54 yards. I mean, that's going to kill you. He led the NFL in passing yards last season. It was a like you said, he wasn't just not a good QB1. He was a terrible QB1. He was crushing you every week if you were starting him. So I'm with you. He's off the radar as well. Put him down there with Goff. Back in QB2s. Wow. I don't even want him.
Wow.
Get him out of here.
Back in QB2.
Love it.
Brutal.
What are you today?
This is the difference between rankings and projections we always get. Those guys might project QB 14 and 15, but if their ceiling is QB 12, why bother? Take Jaden Daniels. At least he has a QB 5 upside. Think about how much we love Richard. Yeah, same reason we liked Richardson as a flyer last year. Same thing with somebody like Jaden Daniels.
Yeah. Speaking of Anthony Richardson, can I just really quickly say I'm on the board, 6th pick in my Scott Fishbowl draft, and Anthony Richardson is available here. Is that too early to go, Mike Clay? I mean, am I reaching to take Anthony Richardson 6th overall in Fishbowl?
Well, I think the strategy is running back heavy, but you got to get two quarterback. You got to get at least one quarterback, maybe. I mean, you don't have to use a super flex for your second for a quarterback in this format. But hey, you do you. You got to play to win. Remember, you're playing this tournament for first place. So do what you got to do. You got to reach. You got to be creative. Be different. You got to do all those things.
All right.
Yeah, the Scott Fish, I think, was saying he wanted to grab Richardson with his first round pick, and he did not because the person who had the first pick in his league, his division, took Anthony Richardson first.
No way.
Wow,
that's fun. Hey, good for him. Like, you got to be different. You got to shake it up.
That's right. All right, one more quarterback talking about from a value perspective, a guy we did not really see play last year, Aaron Rodgers. Obviously only played a handful of snaps before getting hurt. But guys, we've seen him be a top 5, top 10 quarterback, even though he is an older guy. I mean, he's in his 40s now, but even recently in his late 30s, he was a top 10 quarterback. So, Field, I want to ask you this. Is there any chance in 2024 you would look at Aaron Rodgers as a potential QB1 if you happen to miss out on all of the quarterback runs, or are there still just better guys available than Rodgers?
Do you know what one of the scariest things to do in the position that all of us have? Just like being a sports analyst we'll just bet against talent in general, right? It's scary. You know, we live in the I gotcha society, right? We live in this world where people are just waiting for the opportunity to remind you of just how wrong you were about your take on a specific player or team or situation, right? That stuff happens. It's scary to totally write Aaron Rodgers off because he might write back like Geno Smith. That being said, let's just talk about the avenue for Aaron Rodgers to be a top 10 fantasy quarterback. He is a minimal factor with his legs relative to the likes of Lamar Jackson and Jalen Hurts and Josh Allen and Anthony Richardson and some of the guys that are going way ahead of him, right? So he's going to have to offset that by being a superlative passer. Let's go back over the past few seasons of Aaron Rodgers. And when he was still crushing it in fantasy as the MVP of the league in back-to-back seasons, it was because of wild efficiency. Like, we're talking about a 10-to-1 touchdown-to-interception ratio, as in like 40 touchdown passes and 4 interceptions.
Yeah.
And yet, even in those years in which he was crazy efficient, was he even like a top three fantasy quarterback? The answer is no. So the ceiling is tapped on Aaron Rodgers. That's also assuming he gets back to that crazy efficiency. That's also assuming a guy coming off of a significant injury is going to add whatever mobility he did add in the past. So yes, I have Aaron Rodgers much lower than other guys. He's outside my top 12 of fantasy football quarterbacks this season. There are a couple of stars like Justin Herbert that are also outside my top 12 in fantasy football. We are trying to project the likelihood of a guy having a path to the very top of the quarterback heap. I think Aaron Rodgers is a very, very small percentage to get anywhere close to that.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm with you. QB12 for me, but that probably is around his ceiling. Maybe he gets up to QB8. But again, he had 94 rushing yards the last time we saw him. His rushing yardage has gone down four straight seasons. Now he's coming off a major injury at age 40. Also, they don't need him to run. They have plenty of guys to throw to now. They have Breece Hall out of the backfield. Purdy, Tua, Goff, Rodgers, they're all going to have similar rushing lines, and it's all going to be bad, and it's going to limit their fantasy upside. So I would call Rodgers a streaming option, a guy you might want to play in a good matchup where you think you could throw three touchdowns, but you're just not going to want him as your every week starter. You're going to have too many duds.
Who's the best running back that Aaron played with in Green Bay?
Best running back you played with?
Aaron Jones.
Yeah.
Might have been
Aaron Jones.
Aaron Jones, I mean, there were some, he's been around for so long, like, I mean, geez, like Ryan Grant was awesome back like in a short period, right? I mean,
but nobody was like close to a Breece Hall level type of a guy in the backfield behind him. Like he never had
like
a guy.
He had
like
one of those guys that was like, yeah, I mean, such an alpha in the way that Breece Hall could be. That's a good call. If my buddy Aaron Nagler is listening to this right now, maybe he might either be disappointed in us for not knowing the best running backs that Aaron Rodgers play with, or be able to fill in the gaps. So Nags, if someone catches wind of this and sends it your way, and you can tell me who the best running back that Aaron Rodgers play with, let us know.
Yeah, please tell
us. Yeah, I wanted to say Dorsey Levins, but I think that's going back to Brett Favre era. So I'm going, I'm going to way too far back, aging myself.
Amon
right
Green
now.
Was Amon Green Brett Favre, or was that?
He was in the he was in the middle there too. I don't know.
Dorsey is 54. Oh, no wonder Mike was buying him dentures recently for
that's what it is.
54. Dorsey was not around when Rodgers was there.
Yeah, that was far. That was far fair. I'm just saying that's right where I was like, who's an older Packers running back? Dorsey Levins. Right where my brain went. So shout out Dorsey Levins. Didn't know we'd be talking about him today.
That's funny.
There's no better place to watch live TV this fall than Hulu Plus Live TV. Why? Because you get your favorite sports like football, local channels, shows, and so much more. Plus, get Hulu's entire streaming library with Disney Plus and ESPN Plus included with your plan. No long-term contracts or hidden fees. Don't wait. Start your 3-day free trial of Hulu Plus Live TV today. Live TV plan required. Access content from each service separately. Offer valid for new and eligible returning subscribers only if available. Terms and restrictions apply. Learn more at Hulu.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED lights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
By the way, I just wanted to, I have some breaking news here. I wanted to congratulate myself because I just got an email saying that I just purchased an iPhone for $66,000. I'm sure it's legit, right?
Yeah. Congratulations.
It's the iPhone 11. So like, it's kind of like new tech. So yeah.
Sure. Yeah. I might change your email password sometime. from 40-year-old quarterbacks to a bunch of young pups at the position, let's talk about some rookies and sophomores to close this thing out. We got two sophomore quarterbacks inside the top seven of our rankings. We got two rookie quarterbacks inside our top 15. Let's start with the sophomores. Mike, you're on the clock. You've talked about how you don't like Anthony Richardson or CJ Stroud currently at their ADP. You think they're coming off the board a little too early. But which one of these two guys do you think is going to have a better sophomore season in 2024?
Man, again, I think it's a toss-up. I hate to be the guy to hedge, but I guess I would prefer Stroud because he's going later in drafts. But my projections for these two guys are very similar. I guess Richardson's legs give him a higher ceiling, which makes him a little more appealing. But Stroud, I think with the he is just set up for a huge season. I mean, a passing season. And I'm not, you know, he was so good as a rookie. Now it's year two. He should get better in his second season. But I do want to give you guys, you know, kind of a nugget here. And this is going to kind of lead to some other thoughts here. But I want to give you guys an interesting nugget. I might have mentioned this on the show already. I know I did with Stefania a couple weeks ago. But second-year quarterbacks are money in the bank oftentimes, especially guys that are drafted in the first round. Check this out. This is an incredible stat I discovered recently. So think about recent second-year breakout quarterbacks. Carson Wentz, 2017. The next year, Mahomes and Watson. 2019, Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. 2020, Kyler Murray. 2021 was Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow. Then we had Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields in 2022. All those guys made a big leap. None of those 10 quarterbacks, none of them finished better than eighth in fantasy points as a rookie. And only Murray and Herbert were even top 20 during their rookie season. Think about that. Two of those 10 fantasy superstars were top 20. Wow. All 10 finished better than eighth in year two. All of them. I think that's incredible. Like, that shows you that superstar quarterbacks make the leap in year number two. So that should give you a little more optimism about Stroud and what he could do as a passer, Richardson as well. But even some of the sleepers that we're about to get to, like Bryce Young and perhaps Will Levis. So I just think that's really fascinating, kind of as a blanket statement for these high pedigree guys going into year two.
All right. Love I'm it. Just so wondering. If you're listening to the podcast, just so you know, Mike didn't choose either of the quarterbacks. He's taking both Anthony Richardson and CJ Stroud.
That's right.
Hedging on.
Yeah, I mean, okay. Yeah, I felt like that stat you just dropped and like that sort of like the context surrounding it made me feel more excited about Anthony Richardson. I'll just say this, like, not to make this all about Anthony Richardson, but he certainly has been the player that's generated the most conversation throughout the, I don't know, call it like last 2 months, right? In our podcast, mm-hmm. at least, is that like people keep saying to me, like, how can you have Anthony Richardson ahead of a two-time MVP like Lamar Jackson or the best player on the planet in Patrick Mahomes? And it's like, if that was the way that analysis of fantasy football worked, think about how boring it would be year over year over year, right? Like, those same people aren't crying foul that I have Marvin Harrison Jr. as a top 10 wide receiver. Maybe some of them are, but like, it's a projection business. I might be way off. And if I am, I'll own it. And I will work hard to figure out make where I erred on the Anthony Richardson projection. But so much of this is taking what we have seen in the past, using it as part of the data, but then trying to push it forward. If not, like, we would never have, like, Puka Nacua's would never be valuable, right? Like, that's just like how this stuff works. There are breakout players every single year in fantasy football. I happen to think that it is going to be the Anthony Richardson year. Maybe I'm wrong, but just keep that in mind. Like, when your retort to Anthony Richardson being really high in our rankings is, well, other guys have done this, that's fine. It's not about if this was like you know, this was the ranking of what they have accomplished to this point, Anthony Richardson would be very low on the quarterback list. But talk to me in a year and maybe it looks a lot different. I digress.
Yeah, but by the way, that is, I feel like that's pointed at me because that is somewhat my feedback. I mean, you're taking Richardson with the hope that he'll be what Lamar Jackson already is or what Jalen Hurts already is. And you're paying a premium for a guy that hasn't done it yet, whereas these guys have already done it. So what are you hoping for, that he outscores Lamar by 5 points? I mean, is that worth taking him ahead of Lamar with all the risk that he has when the other guys have so little risk?
So we have two separate conversations, though. But there's,
it depends where you take the guys. That's
right,
my
that's
concern,
the thing.
Where you're
drafting. Yeah, well, right. It's two separate conversations, though. Like, Anthony Richardson being quarterback three ahead of Lamar seems more understandable to you than Anthony Richardson being quarterback three and going 15 or 20 slots ahead of Lamar in the draft. And as we've talked about on this show a handful of times, it's like, part of it is like me wanting to support the cause that I am championing it. And then part of it is also knowing the draft room and not expecting to get Anthony Richardson if I wait from rounds. Like, if I don't take him in round five, I probably won't get him in round six.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. And I guess at the end of the day, if Richardson finishes QB5, you know, everybody's right. You know, I guess everybody wins. You know, you're not going to be upset.
Your projection was on.
Obviously I like him. I have him ranked that high, but I mean, I'm still not going to take him that early, but you're not going to be upset if he finishes QB5, even if he's right behind Mahomes and Lamar. So there's an avenue where, you could be perfectly right. I just think the risk is too high to take him where he's going in our draft. So we'll just see where it settles in.
All right, I'm going to switch over to the rookies then. Field, you obviously crushed the draft this year and all the stuff that you did. I want to ask you
about Mike doesn't think so, but thank you for saying that.
That's all right. That's okay.
It's all relative to the other
analysts.
Draft Knicks that were out there. So,
exactly.
You know, I thought he did great too, but, you know, once you start comparing him to Mel and Matt Miller and everybody else, that Jordan Reed, then it's like, how did he really do is the question. So it's all about 100%. Value. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm fine with that, Mike. I see how you operate over there. As far as quarterbacks for this year, though, good Daniel, I do think we have a clear, and again, this is going into the season, not how the season will unfold. I think Jaden Daniels offers the most fantasy upside of the quarterbacks in this year's class because I think he is the closest thing to Lamar Jackson as a runner that we have seen in quite some time coming out of the draft. I know Justin Fields is an incredible runner as well. Justin Fields did not run as frequently as Jaden Daniels ran at LSU. So I'm betting on the Commanders implementing lots of quarterback runs, which will offer plenty of upside here for Jaden Daniels. Am I naive to the idea that Caleb Williams is a superlative passer? No, because he's a better passer than Jaden Daniels is. Does he have a better cast around him? He sure does. Can he really run as well? Yes, but we are talking about a player in Jaden Daniels that might invoke a Lamar Jackson comparison every week this year, because that's what kind of arcade game agility and make you miss moves he brings to the table as a runner. So to me, he's the one that if I'm targeting any rookie quarterback, he's the one that I have the most ambition for as a rookie this season.
Yep.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. I agree. That's why, I mean, instead of taking Richardson, I'd rather just take Daniels in the double digit rounds as that flyer, because, you know, you're kind of thinking with his rushing ability, he could do what Richardson was doing last year on a per game basis with what he offers with his legs. So I'd rather take him way late in my draft as a flyer. I agree with you. But by the way, Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels both set up for huge rookie seasons. I mean, Daniel,
totally.
Have we ever seen a quarterback walk into a situation this good ever? I think it's safe to say we have not. It's certainly a first overall pick. So with that trio at receiver, the two tight ends, the good three running backs I like, and a solid O-line, I mean, Williams has really no excuse to come out and have a pretty good rookie season.
Yeah.
Totally. Agreed there. 100%. Yep.
All right, so then let's head to Fantasy Focus University, guys. We'll close this podcast out by prognosticating a little bit on the end of season report cards for these sophomore.
I give Field a solid C. I give him a solid C.
I think that's fair.
Is that the answer?
You know what? Thank you passed with a C. C gets you a passing grade, Mike.
Wow, I'll take that.
Yeah. The guy that does your dentist probably got a C, but you know what? He's still a dentist, so congratulations.
Wow, is that true? He's got a pass just to get through dental school?
Yeah. I mean, someone's doctor finished last in their class and they're still a doctor. You know what I mean?
It's a good point. So, yeah.
All right. So let's talk about this. We mentioned Anthony Richardson. When you look at the end of the season, we're going through and prognosticating. I think Anthony Richardson, his report card will show a solid A at the end of the year, showcasing us all the stuff that we thought we were going to see his rookie season and making that year two leap, as Mike Clay had said. I'm curious how you guys feel on Anthony Richardson. Mike, I'll let you go first.
Yeah, look, I'm basing this on expectations, right? And grade level as well. Some of these guys are first year, some are in their second year, right? So there's different expectations. So based on the hype and the ADP, I'm going to go B on this. I don't know if he's going to quite pan out with the, like, live up to the insane expectations we've seen with ADP, but he's still going to break out. So I'll say B.
Okay. And Field?
I mean, it's a bit now. It's an A for me, obviously. I can't, you know, you can't back down, right? Like, it's going to be week 17. Anthony Richardson is going to have one 10-point game to his name for the entire season. He's going to be quarterback two of my rankings for the week, and I'm just not going to let this one die.
Never. I'm with you on that one. All right, how about C.J. Stroud, another guy we think is going to do really well this season. I have him as an A-minus right behind Anthony Richardson. Field, I'll let you go first on this one.
I'm going to go with A as well, because I think this player just came off of the greatest rookie season for a quarterback in NFL history. It's scary to think how much better he will be this year just because of natural improvement, right? He's had a full offseason. He understands what goes into being an NFL quarterback. that much more. Same offensive coordinator, Bobby Slowik, did not get a head coaching job or did not take a head coaching job, perhaps is the more accurate way of describing that. The weapons are excellent. I'm going A for C.J. Stroud.
Mike Clay.
Yep, I'm going A as well. I mean, they're just casually going to cut Robert Woods at some point because he's like their eighth wide receiver now. I mean, like John Metchie's their fifth receiver. He might be the two on Pittsburgh. I mean, they're just absolutely stacked. He's set up for a huge passing season. Could throw, you told me he's going to throw 38 touchdowns, that would not shock me. I mean, the ceiling passing-wise, it's massive for Stroud this season. I go A. I'm going A.
All right. One more sophomore quarterback, and that is Bryce Young. Obviously struggled in his first year. They added Deontay Johnson, so love to be able to see that, and DJ Chark as well to that backfield, or excuse me, to that wide receiving core. I've got Bryce Young, though, from a fantasy perspective, as a D+. I don't see him being a top 20 kind of guy for me. It's not someone that I'm looking at as far as a fantasy quarterback to be able to lead my squad unless I am really desperate for a QB2 in a super flex league. So I've got him as a D+, and that's pretty low, I realize. Field, where do you add on him?
I'm going to go C for Bryce Young. And God, I hate to say this. I'm not quite as harsh of a grader as Daniel is, but I'm nervous about this team this year. I really am. They did make some steps forward. I feel like, though, what Carolina was able to do this year is credibly evaluate Bryce Young. After this year, they will know, is Bryce Young good enough that we should build this thing around him further? Or is this going to be a Justin Fields Chicago Bears situation where we're picking high enough that we should just reset the clock with a new player? So I'm going to see, the difference maker at wide receiver, I guess, is Deontay Johnson. I don't think it's going to be there right away for Xavier Leggett. So the surroundings are better for sure. It can't get any worse, but I'll go C. What do you think, Mike?
Yep, I'm with you. I have C as well. I think based on expectations, he's going to exceed them, and I think it's going to be better. Remember, Dave Canales there as well, who got Baker Mayfield to his best season in Tampa last year, now running this offense. And the coach was fired during the season last year. He had a terrible supporting cast in Carolina. I think days are going to be better for Bryce Young. Keep in mind, his efficiency throwing to Adam Thielen last year was good. It was solid, especially for a rookie. Throwing to everyone else, it was honestly unbelievably poor. Unbelievable. And when you see the list of who he was throwing to, it makes sense, actually. So having maybe one of the best route runners in the league and Deontay Johnson there, look at Jonathan Brooks out of the backfield, I think it's going to be a better season for Young.
What a bleep show that was last year, huh?
It wasn't great.
It was really bad. By the way, let me add this really quick from a fantasy perspective. He was like a zero running last year. That's the big concern for fantasy and why I won't go higher. I just think his chances of getting the QB1 conversation or even the top 15 is really slim because he doesn't run. Maybe that'll change in the future, but that's a big concern there. So from a fantasy perspective, it's hard to be excited.
Well, they couldn't call any running plays for him last year because he was too winded from trying to avoid sacks all season because defenders were just bearing down on him every single snap.
It wasn't great. It wasn't great. Running backs didn't really crush it for him either last year. They definitely got more help this year, so hopefully that helps Bryce Young. I realize D+ is a tough grade. Hopefully it's not quite that bad. All right, number one overall pick in this year's draft, Mike Clay, Caleb Williams to the Chicago Bears. We talked about the entire cast that is surrounding him. I've got him as a B- at the end of the season. Where are you at?
I'm going to go A. As far as rookie quarterbacks go, including ones picked first overall, like I said earlier, outstanding circumstances. He has the players around him. Just get them the football. He can add some value with his legs as well. I expect him to have a really good rookie season. And that might be 23 passing touchdowns. That's a huge number, honestly. 23 passing touchdowns for a rookie quarterback is a big number. I think he'll be in that range, and we're going to come away saying this is the future of the Bears organization. He's in a good spot.
Okay, so by that metric, I would give it an A. I'm going B+, though, for this reason, is that he could have a really, really good rookie season, but still not crack top 12 fantasy quarterback status, right? Which is, to me, like that will be what I would reserve an A grade for a rookie quarterback.
Yep. And that's why we moved to Jaden Daniels, and I've got Jaden Daniels right on that cusp of a B+, A-, given the fact that all the things that we talked about that he does, Field, you talk about his rushing ability in that offense, the idea that he can be able to get to that point for you as a QB1 with his legs. So I've got him as an A-. Higher, obviously, than Caleb Williams. Where are you at on Jaden Daniels?
Yeah, that's a perfect number, A minus. Because here's what I would say. If I was going to go A or even A plus, I'd have him slightly higher in my rankings than I do. I've got him on the periphery of being a top 10 or 12 quarterback. But there's just so much upside. I just talked about it a few moments ago, that even if Jaden Daniels kind of struggles through his rookie season as like a pure pocket passer, maybe he's a little bit careless with the football, that may not matter. Because if he rushes for 850 yards this year and 5 touchdowns, he's going to be a top 12-ish quarterback in fantasy.
Yeah.
All right. I agree. I'd go A there too, right with Caleb.
Okay, we got two quarterbacks left then. We're looking at J.J. McCarthy, new quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings. Here's the hard part for me. I gave McCarthy, and we're talking about fantasy, I gave McCarthy a D+. Okay. Because I just don't know how many games he's going to play. I don't know if I'm assuming he's going to start. I don't know what he's going to look like. I like his offense, but there is at least a question mark that maybe J.J. McCarthy is not going to be the guy to start from the jump for this Vikings offense. So from a fantasy perspective, I don't really know what to take away from him as my QB of my fantasy team. So I've got him as a D.
Could you go? I think you could go incomplete and I would let it happen.
Okay, which is why I'm making why the D exists, because of the not sure how many games he's going to play or start.
I was going to go C minus. Here's the reason why. As somebody who received a fair number of C's back in the day, they felt better than anything with a D. It feels like when you throw a D in there, even though that's not a failing grade, it feels kind of close to it. And I don't think it's fair for me to say that JJ or the other one that we may discuss in about 30 seconds deserves a D, because it's probably not their fault. I'll go C minus for JJ McCarthy, because if he wins a starting job, it's a pretty darn good situation for a rookie quarterback.
It is.
Yeah, I feel like you can almost throw these two guys together. You know, McCarthy and May, it's the same situation. We had Jacoby Brissett and Sam Darnold starting early in the season. So it just makes it tricky to evaluate. So I think you're going to come out of this as them not being good fantasy quarterbacks this season. You know, so I'd say for McCarthy, probably, like a D+, if we have to put a letter on it. I like Kevin O'Connell. I like the supporting cast, but he just doesn't have a path to starting early in the season. And is he going to be in the top 15 conversation? Most weeks, probably not. And honestly, the same thing goes for me. And his situation's even worse. So I'd probably just give him a D, but I'm with you. It's tough because they're probably not going to start and they're off the draft radar.
Yep. That's where I'm at. Field, you mentioned it really well. Like, if you said I could give both of these guys an incomplete grade, that might be better than giving them D's, because D makes it sound like they are earning a D, when the truth is they might just not have enough time on the field, or we've seen enough from them in their rookie season to really feel like, I can give them a full grade based on what they've done. So
yeah, I'm with you. That's a smart way of putting it. Oh, that was my idea. Oh, okay.
Hey, look at that. Wow. Of course.
Oh, now who's hedging with incomplete instead of actually picking a lane? Okay. Yeah, I see how.
I don't recall what you're talking about. Yeah. I have no idea what you were speaking of.
That's going to wrap up our quarterback conversation. First things first, though, Field, did you end up making a pick yet for Scott Fishbowl?
No, I'm still waiting. The person who has the fourth pick in our draft is must be at work, because that person is still on the clock.
Still on the clock. All right. You're going to see all of our Twitters and basically all of Twitter over the next 3 to 4 days just inundated with Scott Fishbowl talk. Who did you draft? Who did you get in what round? It basically takes over fantasy football Twitter. So please check in and see all the things that are going on. If you're not a part of Scott Fishbowl or want to find out more about it, you can follow Scott Fish as well. Go find him on Twitter. It's a really, really awesome league, a big charity event to be able to help just donate a bunch of stuff, a lot of positivity into the world. So we love Scott Fish and all the things that he does with this. Guys, that's going to wrap it for today. I can't wait to see you again. I'm going to see you in an hour, because we're doing a bunch of mock drafts together very shortly. Mm-hmm. But we will be back for Fantasy Focus next Monday. We love you guys. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. We appreciate you. Don't forget to love each other. Be kind to yourself. Go out there and get in some mock drafts. We'll see you guys next week.
Later.
If you need a stick of Tide, Field is your guy. If you're in Bristol or in Farmington, you should find another ride. Candidly, he hates Mike Clay, and you know that it's a fact. Every Yater's gonna Yate, 'cause he's on TV every day. A spicy tomato who's
got the stats and tweets that'll make you laugh. He's our favorite host and everybody knows his name. He's Fieldy.